Hello, everybody. I am Debbie with you here on Tuesday night. I hardly ever do shows back to back. I've got the Jew on the call, but he's on another call. I started a call. Hang on just 1 second, everybody. Hang on. There you are. You're back with me now, Blog Talk Radio. And we are live on Spreaker.com. We're simulcasting, so whoopee. Let me add you to the call. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but I think he was talking about all facts, to be honest with you. Let me find him. Where did you go? He's on here somewhere. The Jew. Okay, we'll see if it works. Sometimes I can add people, sometimes I can't.
Worked for me.
Did it? Okay. It says it's calling BTR host. It probably disconnected BTR host.
Yeah, they make it so you can't call.
Oh, really? Maybe I'm not going to be able to do this then. I don't know. It might have disconnected me. Let me check on my studio. No, it says I'm on the air. Well, okay. I'm on the air.
Yeah, usually it makes you hang up. Oh, that's right. You're doing BTR again.
Yeah, just because people were asking me to do so. So that's the only reason why. But yeah.
There you go. That was your explanation of how he becomes a featured host. He paid for it. Well,
hang on just a second. I got to fix this. Hang on, Jew. And we're back. We got temporarily knocked off of Blog Talk Radio because they won't let me add people to the call. So if you're out there listening, Jew, call in on the Blog Talk switchboard, which that number is, I forgot what the number is. The number is 858-365-5509. Call in and give us a chat, old boy, and we'll talk. Because I obviously can't add people to my call and have them talk that way. So I am on Blog Talk Radio, which is getting on Blog Talk Radio is about 5 times harder than getting on Spreaker. You have to schedule the show, you have to do this, you have to do that. But I titled the show Debbie and Her Young Author. I know a graduate from Harvard who is a very close personal friend, I guess you could say, closer than a friend, that wrote for the Harvard Crimson. And I was going to read some of these things that she wrote and see if I can stir up a conversation here. The first one I want to read is called Like a Virgin. And it reads, a few days ago in a house dining hall, I overheard a rather troubling conversation that has echoed throughout our campus like a hollow, unfunny joke. One of the most outspoken advocates for the true love revolution was walking past a table of 4 boys, and when he was beyond earshot, one of them started snickering. The 4 then devolved into a fit of manly and obviously overcompensating laughter at the quote-unquote virgin who had just walked by. I was startled, not so much at their immature behavior, but because I am pretty sure that at least 2 of those boys are still virgins themselves. And the way one of the virgin hecklers was sloppily scarfing his meal, well, it was clear that he was no Casanova. But apparently, even at a place like Harvard, where most students get less ass than the dingy toilets in the 4th floor of Sever Hall, virginity is still something that one must mock. Beyond this one incident, I have seen other instances in which the true love revolution is derided in a silly and pointless manner. On several yard kiosks, their posters were shredded or intentionally covered up by the Stewie Griffin's Sexy Party posters advertising Winthrop's debauchery. And when several members of the True Love Revolution were flyering in front of the Science Center leading up to their semester's introductory meeting, I overheard countless conversations that were gratuitously hostile. Whatever happened to crumpling up flyers and throwing them into the trash? Did the quote-unquote 40-year-old virgin scare our campus so badly that we must now resort to this infantile manner of derision toward abstinent peers? For those unfamiliar with the True Love Revolution, it was started last year by two Harvard undergraduates to promote abstinence as a lifestyle choice. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, the group took on a campaign to educate Harvard students about the benefits of chastity. According to their website, the TLR has a good reason for promoting abstinence at Harvard. Saving sex for marriage, we believe, can contribute positively to your physical and emotional health and improve the quality of your current and future relationships. Most of their platform contains an abundance of happy words that make it really seem that abstaining from sex is just a positive state of being. While I do not profess to believe in many of the tenets promoted by the TLR, I respect their existence. To me, it's encouraging that a large number of students have publicly proclaimed their commitment to a value that is important to them. And their current campaign is not at all heavy-handed. In fact, I don't understand why several students feel it necessary to make fun of a campaign that they could just as easily ignore. There are certainly more obnoxious campaigns that the TLR could have produced to get your attention. They could have operated under an Alcoholics Anonymous precedent, with the introductory meeting consisting of a series of confessions in which everybody went around the room and declared whether or not they were alcoholics. I mean, virgins. After all, this is Harvard. They could have gone ahead and assumed that the most nookie anyone has ever received in a while was a brush up against a thigh on a shuttle. They could have ditched the secular facade they are operating under and literally scared the hell into people and brought in guest speaker Jerry Falwell for a frank discussion on Sodom and Gomorrah and extended an invitation to Mel Gibson to come tell everybody about the virginal passion of the Christ. A ritualistic burning of the Da Vinci Code could have followed. Lastly, they could have undertaken a campaign about how awful sex can be. I bet that picture of herpes would frighten anyone back into chastity. But instead, our campus is stuck with the current civilized and unobnoxious campaign for the True Love Revolution. Ho-hum. Amidst the ridicule, I have not yet figured out why so many students have fixated on an unassuming student group. This situation really reflects on a larger issue of tolerance. The TLR take their campaign seriously. So perhaps instead of making fun of their ideas, why don't you try supporting your childish impulses to mock what you disagree with? If your self-esteem is boistered by disparaging peers who are proud of their celibacy, consider finding a new way to gain personal confidence when you learned the phrase, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you," in kindergarten. You were really learning an important life lesson that rings all the more true when you're on the receiving end of an unfunny joke. So to those four boys, of whom also need to learn how to eat properly, and anyone else who has made a point of mocking the TLR, find something better to do with your time than needlessly making fun of someone's lifestyle. The end. And I'm just really proud to know this girl. She's very, very intelligent. And I won't be giving out her name for her own protection. We have a caller from Skype. Yes, this is the Debbie Daly Show.
Hello, Debbie. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Is this Mr. Solution?
Yes, it is.
You always act so silly. I heard you on Mr. Midnight Movie Show last night, and I was going, oh, my God, what a fiasco.
No, that's our son, Debbie. Come on.
That's right. That's our son.
Did you see how I made him? Did you see how I made him recant?
Yes, you did. I would love to play that for you guys, but I'm not going to. It was great. It was great.
He is great.
Poor Mr. Midnight Movie.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenological, even.
Mr. Solution gave him a whipping like I haven't seen in a long time. He was like, what do you mean I got my ass kicked? It was great. It was funny.
Yeah, that was an interesting show. They invited me to do another one, and I think this one is going to be on male-female communication.
Hmm. Yeah, I was taking some notes on the show that you were talking about. Financial things. I thought that was interesting. like, for example, I didn't know that you could go see a financial planner or a financial advisor for that low amount of money.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm even going to discuss micro loans. So it will be virtually impossible for one to escape creative enterprise, and particularly entrepreneurship. I mean, it's been said everybody doesn't deserve to be wealthy or financially well off or even comfortable because they're not willing to put in the work. But we want to give some people some real ideas, and I think you and I have spoken of the game Cash Flow. They even have one for children. And it's to broaden one's mind regarding investment options.
Did you know since I started playing that game, I'm now in debt over $75,000.
In the game. No, in real life or in the game?
No. In the game. Remember, I started playing it that night.
Now you purchased the game.
I'm playing it online.
Oh, online. Okay, I got you.
Remember,
well, that's even better. Free is better.
You told me about it online. What was the name of the one that I started playing online? What was that one?
The only one I've spoken of is Cash Flow 101, and it's better than Monopoly. It's more realistic.
No, you talked about one on my show one night. You said it was a website called... Maybe it was Cashflow 101. I'll take a look and see if that was what
that's
it
the only one I've really recommended.
Cashflow game. Okay, wait a minute. It's
And they have one for kids.
Yeah, it's at richdad.com. I turned you up a little bit. Richdad.com is where it's at. And then you go to games, and it's there. It's called Cashflow. You can do it.
Cashflow. And that's a great game, and it just, because no one teaches us what you call financial intelligence. He's a good teacher. It's my opinion that Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the best book he had ever written. Now, he wrote some more books subsequent to that, but that was his finest. And it was written
somebody else
on
wants
such
to come
a,
on the call. Let me pick up this caller. Hold on just one second. Let me pick up this caller. Area code 920, you're on the call.
Hello, my name is Andy Bond. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, Andy Bond. How are you? Say hi to Mr. Solution.
What's up, Mr. Solution? How are you doing? It's
hey,
great
Andy,
to be on
how
Blog
are you,
Talk
sir?
Radio. I am doing good. It's great to be on Blog Talk Radio. You are having a wonderful show.
We're on Spreaker, too.
I know. I have been listening to Spreaker here. I'm a little afraid.
Now, we're learning, we're talking about making money. Now, I was reading from a friend of mine who just graduated from Harvard University. She's young, but she, nonetheless, I know her very well, and she wrote for the Harvard Crimson, which is the Harvard paper. And she wrote some really interesting articles, I'll tell you. And I was just reading some of them just to get somebody's opinion on them. That's all. And
I listen to I listened to one of them already, Debbie, and I think it's a good idea, saving sex for marriage. But the question is how someone is going to come on this phone call, and it's not me, it's not, I don't know who's going to come on, but someone is going to say, why do we have to save ourselves for sex? Why do we have to do that? You're not the parent, you're not my mom, you're not my dad, you're nobody. So why do we have to save yourself for sex?
Well, because you don't need sex. You think you do, but most sex, in my opinion, comes out of peer pressure. And you don't. And if you wait until you're married, can you imagine how wonderful you would feel about yourself?
I understand completely. Yes, you would understand. I have no girlfriend whatsoever. I can tell you that straight up.
Well, that, and we're talking about making money, whether you're young or old. And I have so many ideas on that, Mr. Solution. In fact, when I called in the other night before Brown Beasley attacked me, I had a list. I had a list written out of all the things that I was going to talk to you about that I use to make money. For example, one of them that anybody can do is open a store on eBay, sell things on eBay.
Ah, yes.
But there's one other way to do that. If you take it further, you can actually sign up with companies that are in other countries, and you can sell their little knickknacks on eBay, and you can make a lot of money that way. Or you can go.
Wow. How do you manage I was about to ask you about the product. Maybe you want to, discuss that a little bit further. But how do you do? Does one handle the mailing and everything, or are there instructions on eBay?
No. You have to, you get an account with UPS or FedEx, and they will come to your house and pick up your items for you. It's not as major as everybody thinks. A lot of people think, oh, I don't want to mess with the shipping. Well, you roll the cost of the shipping into the price of the item. Another way to do that is to go to garage sales and secondhand stores and pick up items and sell those on eBay. I know a girl who makes $3,500 a month selling on eBay.
Wow. And how long has she been doing this?
She started doing it not even a year ago. She started doing it last spring. And after we sat down, we were sitting at her kitchen table not too long ago, and we averaged it out. She's averaging about $3,500 a month.
Is this full time?
Mm-hmm.
Or does she work a second job?
No, she does not work a second job. And
okay,
anybody can do that. Anybody within the sound of my voice can do that. Anybody.
Don't say that, Debbie. See, I think you demean it when you say that. Because, anybody may be able to do it, but there's another component there, and that's volition. We could also talk about motivation. And that's what Kiyosaki talks about. Some people have everything that you and I would think would lead them to success, but yet they aren't. I'm just making that
recently, Mr. Solution. I heard somebody say these words to me: I can't get a job, they'll stop my government benefits.
Hmm.
That's BS. I'm sorry.
I swear.
A priority issue.
That is exactly the words that came out of his mouth. I can't get a job. They'll stop my government benefits. I believe that we're living in an age where people are comfortable sitting if you want to talk about, if we're going to get into the color thing, these were not colored people, okay? These people were Caucasian, and they came from fairly decent families, but they did not work. In today's world, it's not where you live off the government if you can't work. You live off the government if you don't work.
There is a lot of things that I want to get right now because I'm mad because I work for a living. I have two jobs. I work at Pilly Willy and I run my own business. So don't tell me, whoever is these things, oh, it's hard to find work because I can't find work. Seriously? That is just idiot. And for the second part, I have SSI coming in. and I can make a few months, like let's say I can make $800 per month, and if I make more, they will shut me down. They don't care who you are. They don't care if you're rich, poor, young, old, crippled, in the hospital, dying of cancer. They will shut you down if you have more money.
You mean if you make over a certain limit?
Yes. If you make over a certain limit, I don't care if you're old, crippled. Again, I'm not going to repeat what I said, but they will shut you down in a heartbeat. And they don't have no problem shutting down you.
Right.
Okay, now, it's you draw something from the government? Is that what you're saying?
SSI is basically money that you...
Andy? Did Andy drop? Let me check. No. Yeah, he dropped. It says caller 920 has dropped. That means, excuse me, the switchboard dropped it. Pardon me. I'm assuming
darn.
Since... yeah, that was sad.
In mid-sentence.
In mid-sentence. Shooting somebody in the middle of their cabanza. Captain, that's in bad form. Do you think it was in bad form when Peter Pan... Never mind. You know, I think that because maybe he's special needs is what he was referring to, that he draws SSI off the government.
Right, SSI, sure. But that's, the government has a lot of programs like that. If one earns over a certain amount, it will interfere with whatever other payments that are being made. So... I understand what he means. I've heard it before. Yeah. But, no, what was I going to say? Well, go ahead. I'm sure it'll come to me.
He said SSI is money that is drawn from the government, and you don't work. They give you money or lots of stuff. And then he said, my phone cut out.
Okay, I'm sorry. The point you had earlier, Debbie, I just wanted to insert the fact that if you say people... See, sex is kind of a filler. It's a default. And if people don't know what to do, generally they have sex, watch TV, and things of that nature. So the point would be to fill one's available time up with something else enjoyable. And I do believe people could, and I don't know how long, maybe for as long as they want, but as long as they are enjoying each other and being face-to-face, interactive, I think that could go on for quite a while. In other words, they are defining their compatibility. But in the absence of that, which most people are very shallow, okay, because America teaches pretty much it's populist to be shallow. So sex is going to be a default activity.
Well, I think for many generations we lived without premarital sex, and I've never understood why this country...
Well, wait a minute. We live without premarital sex. Now, be careful there. What people did, they did have sex. They got married because they figured it was the honorable thing to do, particularly if the woman was pregnant. So they were having sex. They were rolling in the hay.
My mother and father went across the border, eloped in Oklahoma, went back home. She went to her room and went to bed in her room at her house, and he went home and went to bed in his home, in his house, in his room. Because she did not want to have premarital. There was a time when people didn't have premarital sex. Welcome to the show, One Angry Jew.
You talk about sex, Mr. Solution, as if it's a bad thing.
No, I didn't. What did I say about sex that was...
what did I say?
Portraying it as bad. What did I say?
You made it sound as if it was an undesirable use of time.
That was an interpretation of yours.
You're correct.
How's it going? And happy New Year, One Angry.
It's going terrible. But what else could it be but an interpretation?
Well, it could be an erroneous interpretation. It could be.
I rarely do those.
Yeah, well, okay. No, what I was saying is would you agree that if people have a well-developed enough character, they can find things to invest in, to enjoy together, other than sex? But now the guy doesn't want to be out of a whole bunch of money, throwing a lot of money down a rabbit hole with a woman who really is just there for the money. So there are some issues that have to be ferreted out.
You have brought up quite a few issues. Which one would you like to delve into?
Proceed at your pleasure.
Well, I'm, as you know, quite agile and able to handle just about any topic.
Please
or
do.
Or subtopic thereof. Well, name one.
Well, you just said I presented several, so pick one and go with it. I'm okay.
You are still characterizing sex as something not to be achieved. Tell me what's better.
What's you want to finish that? That you left me dangling. What's better than sex?
Yes.
Well, I didn't necessarily say what I said to Debbie, to quote myself. I said that individuals, a man and a woman, can engage in things that develop their compatibility other than sex, but they have to have those as antecedents, okay? Otherwise, sex becomes a default activity.
I have no problem defaulting.
Gotcha. No, but I'm agreeing with what Debbie said earlier. I think, but I'm just saying people have to have tools in order to structure. Sex is like a, I use the term default. But remember on Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, sex is down there with, you know, the basics. I think after food and shelter and clothing, you know, water, sex, and that sort of thing. It can also play a role in self-actualization. I mean,
it just seems to me that you discounted the activity.
No, I'm going to repeat, I haven't. I have not. I think sex is fundamental to male-female interaction. In fact, the term male and female are descriptive of their sexual apparatus.
Are you presently in a sexual relationship?
Well, no. Why need you know that? Why do you need to know that? Come on. Answer that for yourself.
It seemed like an interesting question.
Yeah, but are you in one?
Well, I asked you first. But I'll be happy to answer you once you answer me.
What?
I'll be happy to give you an answer once you answer me.
Being a contrarian, let me put it to you this way. Of the American population, there are more single people than married people.
Yeah.
So most people are... I'll just allow that statement to stand.
You're talking to a man who's traveled back and forth and lived in Thailand.
Well, I'm sure the culture is different there between men and women. I'm sure it's more frontal.
Well, there's only a few things that one does regularly in Thailand. Sleeps, eats, chases women. It's not difficult to chase them, though. They don't really run.
Are the women exceptionally beautiful there?
Yes. I think Thailand is the second or third most beautiful culture in Asia. I think the women from South Korea are some of the most beautiful in the world. Second would go Thailand, maybe the Philippines.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Japan. And then I might throw Malaysia in there somewhere. And I think towards the bottom would be China. You don't see too many exceptionally beautiful Chinese like you do from Korea.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you, there are some beautiful women in every culture.
And in
I have observed that.
And in Thailand, the chicks with dicks are also exceptionally beautiful. You have to be very careful. You have to look at the sign.
literally.
You have to look for the signs, yes.
Obviously, yeah.
I had a very good eye. I used to be able to pick them from 20 feet away. I'd be able to look and go, oh, yeah, well, that's a ladyboy. In Thai, they call them kitois. But I would say, yeah, that's a ladyboy. Usually,
my.
Big hands, you might see an Adam's apple. But, in fact, I've got one in my family. I have my sister-in-law used to be my brother-in-law.
Okay.
It's nothing quite unnerving when you think you're in a house full of women only to hear coming from a distance, achoo! Sort of makes you jump.
What was that? I didn't quite get that part.
It's a sneeze, but in a male voice. It's very hard to disguise that male voice when you sneeze.
I see. Okay, I see. Yes.
When you think you're in a house full of just women and you hear that loud, masculine-sounding
right.
sneeze, it kind of makes you turn around and do a quick look.
Right. I think what you're speaking to, among other things, is the uniqueness of women.
Well, no, this is not a woman, although, interestingly enough, Thailand...
juxtaposition. No, I understand what you're saying.
Thailand, in their quest for yet another constitution, I forget how many they've had thus far. They keep creating them and then throwing them away every couple of years. They have now decided that they are going to recognize the third gender, male, female, and ladyboy, which would be the third gender.
Oh, I see. Yes,
officially recognize it. See, the thing is, a lot of people become gay or ladyboys in Thailand because it's sort of a cool thing to do.
Really?
Yeah, people. I think people. A lot of them in Thailand don't become ladyboys or gay because that's their inclination. It just seemed like the cool thing to do, and they roll with it because it's very. Nobody has a problem with it there.
That's interesting. Would you say relationships are easier or harder for them?
Well, I guess that depends. Some of them look better than, you would swear that they're women. There's one that I know of.
Sneeze.
I'm sorry?
Except when they sneeze.
Well, some of them have vocal cord surgery as well, so it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, for
sure. Well, I want to tell you, sometimes if they've had a full-up surgery, unless they want to tell you, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, but I saw a guy once in prison. It was on, they have these shows that are popular, and... he found out that this was the case, and he killed this person. He shot this person, shot her in the head. And
yeah, it's not a good idea to fool. Remember that old blue bonnet, or what was it? It's the one where it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Well, they're fooling Mother Nature, all right, and quite a lot of other people.
Yeah, that can be quite horrific. I used to
laugh a lot. I would go get a late night soup or a good spicy soup at an outdoor eatery, and it would all at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and there'd always be some putz from some other country who was showing off the girl that he just picked up. Oh, I'm sorry, is that a chauffeur?
That was me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, there would always be some putz that would be showing off some girl. He'd be drunk and he'd be showing off the catch that he got tonight, except you could tell that the hands were bigger than his and there was an Adam's apple, and you knew that it was he was about to get a surprise later on. And I always wish I could be in the room when he realized exactly what he had.
And see, then the person is fighting for their for their manhood, the guy, because he's been duped. He's been tricked.
Well, I don't know. I think they were duped because they wanted to be duped. And as far as any kind of physical confrontation, some of these ladyboys kick the shit out of you. There'd be nothing left of you. You got to be very careful.
Well, yeah, I concur with you. Is there a military base there?
Plenty.
Plenty. Okay. Yeah.
We also do black ops there. We do renditions and whatnot. Drag them out to Thailand and nearly kill them, and then claim that we're extracting information.
So when do you anticipate returning?
Well, I'm not sure. I've been dealt a little bit of a setback lately, so I'm not sure how when I'm returning.
Right.
I have to sort things out here health-wise before I head back.
Oh, I hope your health is okay.
No, I'm pretty fucked up, but we'll see.
You're pretty fucked. How do you like going to the doctor? Now, I went today, and this stupid thing in my mind is always taunting me. And I'm going to kick its ass at a certain point, but, I mean, it always turns out okay, it turns out well, but there is this concern about going to the doctor. A lot of men don't go to the doctor, and they don't go until it's too late.
I did it till it's too late. Well, I don't know, maybe. I had pneumonia most of the month of December.
Oh, wow.
It really fucked up a lot of things. It messed with a lot of stuff. And, I'll give you an example. I went I normally check my blood pressure. I'm usually 120 over 80, normal. But I take some blood pressure medication, but I've been taking medication for 15 years, and it's always normal. But I started creeping up when I had the pneumonia. So something with the pneumonia touched off something else. And then I went in there 2 weeks ago and checked my blood pressure at the pharmacy at the supermarket where I go, and it was 200 over 100. You think that might be a bit high?
I think, yes, methinks. Yep.
But I have.
So what did you do?
Well, I'm fortunate. I have lots of friends, a lot of them professional.
Yeah.
Several of them doctors. And I had a conversation with a doctor friend of mine, and she asked me a couple of questions. She said, get any chest pain? No. Shortness of breath? No. Do you, it's just a bunch of questions. No. She said, well, you don't need to go to an emergency room. She said, go see a doctor. So I did. Then I gave blood. But then I got the phone call the day after I gave blood. You know, that phone call the next day when office hours are over.
Okay.
And I said to the doctor, I said, you got bad news, don't you? He said, well, yeah. I said, all right, well, give it to me. I said, is there any good news in there? Yeah, see, no problems with the prostate. PSA was minuscule. So there is a silver lining and all that.
Oh, when you say you gave blood. No. You meant you took a blood test.
Several.
Yeah, okay, got you.
I haven't done that in quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're okay. You have to work on yourself. We've got to keep your wit around.
Oh,
so.
Don't you worry.
Were you over at Tyrone's show the other night? I mean, I wasn't on Tyrone's show. He always cuts me off. But I was on another show, and we were speaking finance. And so Debbie came on, though.
I heard of some of the melee that took place. I believe I was on either later in that evening on their I like to just let my presence be known. So I called up his 800 number, and, well, you know, I don't think I made a lot of friends. There were some people there, some very unsavory-type characters, one that calls herself Sister Agonia, or Sister, I don't know, something.
That was Eric's show.
Oh, no.
It was good he cut me off. He banned me from his show, which is the first show I've ever been.
It's not the first one that's been banned. I'm banned, but.
You go there with the intention of being banned.
Yes,
but no, he. Really good, by the way, because it was a waste of time. Because I always work. I work a lot of times when I'm on the phone. But that was like prime time. So
right, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm working and I'm talking because I can do several things at once.
Yeah, multitask.
But I purposely go on that show to taunt and torment.
See, that's what I mean. That's the reason you're banned. I never go on a show to taunt anybody. Now, 3M and I get into a fracas because he invites a pummeling. He has the inflammatory show.
He does.
Yes, yes.
But maybe you should give it a try. Maybe you should just go on there with the intent to just completely...
No, that's hard for me to do. That's hard for me to do. And the thing is, he thought that a guy had me the other night with the 9th and 10th Amendment. He just doesn't understand. He was overwhelmed because he thought I was defeated. He wants to see me defeated.
I understand, but if they're so ignorant that they really don't have a foothold in reality, then how do you even have a conversation with them? Because your foundation is not clear. They don't share the same foundation that you have. They think they're right, and they think you're wrong, but they don't have a clue as to what they're talking about.
Well, now, do you believe they're doing that, or they're just good actors?
No, I believe I don't believe that they're intentionally stupid. I believe they are stupid.
Now, what about 3M? Do you think he's an actor, or that he's actually the way he comes off?
He's a very good actor.
Yeah, I tend to think that, too, because no one could be that stupid.
I think he plays the fool.
Right, exactly.
But the people over at Talk Real Solutions, they're not playing. They really are fools.
Interesting. Now, I know that will gain you points with them.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure.
And that's the most amazing part of it is that they'll bring up, someone will always bring up, it'll be some sister something or other. I still can't figure out why they call them sister or why they call themselves sister. And they'll bring that up that I said horrible things on another show. And I'm always overjoyed when I hear that. Because
right.
People are listening, and I think, well, you know, why do you care what I say on another show? I tell people, look, years ago,
You want to know who never misses my show ever?
Who?
Oh, Bathtub Girl.
Well, of course, her. Mechazawa and Goofy Bone.
Really?
They quote me every show I do on Twitter. They say, well, last night you said, and I'm like, God, they never miss my show. It's hysterical. They remember things I've said that I don't remember I've said. I'm like, oh,
right,
my gosh,
right.
I forgot
and
I said that.
That's very flattering. Look, it was on your show that I coined the phrase, I'm a troll and a liar. And I say that because if you think about that, you're in a conundrum. Is he a troll? Is he being a liar? Is he lying when he says he's a liar or when he's a troll? And now most people don't take it to that level. But I warn people who I am and what I do. I get great delight out of it. I can't tell you why. Some people
are
being
area code 310. You're on the call with Debbie and Mr. Solution and Piston Pilot.
Yes, I see that my old man, who I didn't have to do any verbal roundhouses to, is on your show.
Well, you went on autopilot last night.
Yes, I did. I considered the debate and the discussion. Yes.
I've been said on the show, is Mr. Midnight Movie and Jewish Producer on this show?
You know what? The discussion was so interesting that I let the individuals talk because I found it to be – and I do want to thank you guys because, you guys made it a very interesting show, and it was all due to my guests.
Well, those are some pretty sharp guys. Now, let me ask you something. You thought that guy had me. I noticed you picked me out. You were picking on me. You picked me out, and you thought that I couldn't deal with the 9th and 10th Amendment, correct?
Well, it was a good give and take, and I was interested more in seeing. I didn't think he had you. I just wanted to hear your response.
Yes, you did. Yes. See, I can read you. I know that you thought he had me on. And he turned around and agreed with me. And I didn't even use, I had another one. Next time, I'll use malum in se and malum prohibite.
Who was that?
In context.
Who was that caller?
Sarge?
Sarge.
No. I've known Sarge for years. I'm talking about the other guy.
Oh, Naj.
Naj.
Who is he?
I don't know.
He's a black man with attitude.
I don't know him.
I think he's a Muslim.
Is he?
A Muslim?
Probably.
I had a Muslim.
Was putting Brown Beasley in his place. I was loving Sarge putting Brown Beasley going, "Oh, well, American slavery was the worst slavery in history." And he was going, "No, it's not. We have men here that actually fought to free the slaves." I mean,
you know, one other thing about Sarge is Sarge, aside from the fact that he can yell and scream and do that with he's got really good lungs, but he knows his history. He is a walking encyclopedia. He's usually accurate.
How long have I known Sarge? I've known Sarge since the Bill Wagoner days.
Oh,
really?
Let me just say,
and I know you probably will answer this. There were different Sarges because when I first heard him.
No. This is Sarge from Bill Wagoner. Trust me, dear.
There's only one Sarge.
Okay.
There's a new Sarge. We're not talking about him.
This guy was
on Bill Wagoner's show every night.
Was he? Okay.
Yes, he was. And he loved Bill.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes.
No, Sarge, I like Sarge. Usually I just sit back and listen. In fact, that's what I did most of last night because he is quite entertaining and informative. So.
Yeah, you'll learn.
Now, would you consider Sarge to be a little bit like Larry Elder?
Come on.
A lot of people call him Uncle Tom.
Yeah, they do. Like Larry Elder.
They call him lots of things.
Yeah, they call him, they come up with this term, coon and porch monkey, which when you think about it, you have to laugh because you're thinking, who would come up with these terms? I mean, a porch monkey, what is that? A coon. Now, I know raccoon, but a coon.
I've never understood where that phrase comes from.
But
I've never understood the word ratchet. Think about it.
Ratchet?
I don't either, no.
Yeah.
But one can go to the Urban Dictionary and see what it
I think it's
possibly
a twist on
means.
Ratchet.
Ratchet. Because a ratchet is a,
tool.
I know what a ratchet is, a ratchet proper, a wrench that clicks and it allows you to tighten a fastener. But I had never heard it applied to an individual, so...
Well, no, it's an ebonic derivative of the word wretched, I think. So ratchet equals wretched. I had to teach you.
Well, fuck yeah, I just said I didn't know what it meant.
Did you just say fuck yeah?
Hell yeah.
You need to spend more time in the hood with me getting those rib tips, and you'll learn those words.
Am I recording that? Because that needs to be a drop right there.
But I didn't know. You didn't know. Did you know what it meant, 3M?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know what it meant.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you this. Wait a minute. You did know what it meant. Okay,
yes,
fine.
Yeah.
Even Tyrone hates me is because I talked to Debbie. And that's the reason Renee gets upset with me.
Okay, stop.
Only
stop,
because,
stop, stop,
I mean,
stop,
how
stop,
big
stop,
it is.
Stop, stop, stop. Stop. I want to ask y'all something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see me as a racist? Don't. I do not want you to think about your answer. I want you to sincerely answer that with all honesty. I can take anything. Trust me. I can take anything.
But your question's too specific. The question should be,
there was
do you see me
troll.
As racist, prejudiced, or bigoted? You should
broaden
that.
Okay, then whatever. Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
So you want my opinion?
I want everybody's opinion because they think because a troll, Pimp Hat, called into their show after splicing my audio and had me say over and over and over and over and over the N-word, which in 2014 I used it one time.
Oh, go say it.
And they think that I am. No, it's because of that. That alone. That alone.
I say it all the time. I say
well,
it so often.
I am the female devil racist, is what they think. And Mr. Solution just said that they don't like him because he talks to me.
But there's a devil over there. If he comes, I'm not going to talk to him anymore.
What I'm talking about is a devil is that
a person hides behind these phrases. And they'll say they, quote unquote, I love my people, but he really doesn't. He's just lying. This was a particular guy I feel that should be deported because he is. But at any rate, hopefully he won't come on anymore.
You're talking about Tyrone?
No, wait a minute. That's 3M, Debbie. You'll have to laugh at this. 3M was talking about deporting an American citizen.
Well, we can't do that.
Were we talking about the same gentleman that you felt should be deported? Is this a foreigner that should be deported, or is this
I think he's not an original American.
Okay,
I don't think he
was. You dodged the question. Everyone.
No, I'm not dodging it. I want
to ask it again.
I think he chose to come here. But see, this is the thing. If you choose to come to a country that's fucked up, who's really fucked up?
I'm ready to answer your question.
Go ahead.
All right.
See, I believe Debbie is prejudiced, but I think everybody's prejudiced. Because if you tell me you're not prejudiced, then tell me you don't masturbate, too, in the same sentence. So I don't believe that any more than I believe the other one.
Now, I don't think you're – have you finished – let me know when you finish.
I don't believe she's a racist.
Say over.
But the problem is the word racist has been substituted for bigoted and prejudiced. No longer does anybody ever bring up those two words anymore because the media has gone right to racist. And by definition, you can't be a racist.
That's right. That's right. And why is that, by the way? And I know 3M is going to jump all over you.
She has no power over
anybody.
She has no power over what happens to people. That's
exactly.
Racism. So she's not a racist. Now, are you
right?
Big,
now,
I'm going to concur with him fully on that particular maybe prejudiced? Well, I am. I admit it. If you tell me you're not, come on. Nobody.
I join with you. But now I work on whatever biases that I may have that are inappropriate, you know, in quotation marks. I'm open to working on those, but I agree. We're raised in a biased society, so we do pick up some of that.
Of course, and to claim that you don't is being very disingenuous.
Wow, look at that guy! He's throwing out those polysyllabics.
But I love to torment, and as I said. I have said the word nigger so many times that it doesn't have any meaning for me anymore, and I don't even know. But over there at TRS,
anybody can be a nigger, can't they? Is it just a jackass?
But it brings about such hatred and foaming in the mouth. I mean, I'll give you a real life example.
Oh wow!
Now I 2 weeks ago, there's an area in the suburbs, not the city, in the suburbs here. Where for two square blocks, it's all Korean. Everywhere you go, Korean here, Korean there. But you go two blocks over, it's all black. All black. And not the middle class black that I'm used to out in the suburbs. It's people coming out of the city, pants fall down. I still can't understand why black people walk around holding their pants up from behind. You know, that belt loop in the back? Why would you walk around having to hold your pants up to keep them from falling down all the time? I just can't figure that out. But I took my son about 7 o'clock on a Sunday to a shopping area, and I timed the exit from the vehicle with him so that there were few people on the street, much less to contend with, and then went into the store and, of course, was greeted by a security guard with a big gun.
We're getting
but
off
my,
topic
again. No, we're not off topic. We're not
yeah,
off topic.
Yeah, we are. You're going to get put on hold. You're going to get put on hold. You're dominating the whole damn thing.
Well, yeah, I think you'll like
I want to stop for a second. I want to play what they play on the TRS show, and I want you to show. I want to show y'all how they destroyed what I said that night. Just take
Is
a
it
listen.
Me? Am I on?
Do what?
I do so. Am I on there?
Yeah, but if you don't stop talking so much, you're going to get muted.
Oh, good.
Again.
I'm
going to
stop
it. I
like attention.
I'm going to play what they play on TRS to prove that yours truly is a demon racist. This is what happened. This is what this troll did. Listen.
Is it true that you said to many people last night that you want to have me killed?
Okay, now first thing I want you to notice, he's not playing what the other guy is saying, which was vicious, okay? You call me disrespectful? Excuse me. Oh, I'm a racist for saying the word nigger. Do you ever use the word nigger? Sir, do you? Go back on hold. Shut up. These ancestors, we're slaves. Okay, he has got this so spliced that I will show you what really took place during this conversation. You will go, whoa. This is what they're basing this on, because Pimp Pat called that show time after time after time after time and play this. And this is what they're basing it on. Because before he did this, they didn't feel the way they did. Cart goddamn launch. He's not even playing the sentences. He's just picking out words and emphasizing them and repeating them over and over and over again. So there you go. That's what I wanted to show y'all. That's what he's doing. And then it goes on and it's just stupid. It's just a stupid-ass hater. And I don't even call him a troll. He's not a troll. He's a hater, because trolls don't act that way. Trolls don't do what they do. And I do not think that Brown Beasley is a troll. He used that as an excuse on me the other night. And so, okay, back to talking about your son. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you so much. He asked me after that. He noticed that I timed the exit. And he asked me, he said, what's the difference between white and black people?
What happened?
I didn't tell him. I wasn't sure how to answer him.
Where'd everybody go?
Isn't anybody going to say?
I don't know what he said.
Everybody was so shocked by my statement.
No, I think we're waiting.
Of course, he also asked me about gay people, too. But I told you the answer to that. Mr. Solution would like his answer. When I try to explain homosexuality to my son in a 7-year-old way, the first thing he said was, well, two boys can't have a child.
Okay. Well,
oh,
they
could, killed
Mr. Solution. Are you still there?
They're all gone.
No, they're there.
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
Oh, I'm here.
Yes, we're all still here.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is, TRS is playing that primarily because they want something to be angry about. And they love it. They love finding a race, what they perceive to be a racist, whether it's real or not.
Now, that's the most profound statement he has uttered since I can remember. That was pretty good there. Hello?
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. That's basically what they live for. They live to find somebody, you know, like there's a racist out there. They live for it. And, yeah, well...
I think they use
but
it
you
as
know what? I think that speaks to a deeper problem, because you remember when I used to really deal with you with this issue, I said it comes from a place of who you are, your core, if you are unhappy. That is the reason when I deal with a person, I always like to at least get a picture of how they feel about themselves. If they're basically happy people, you know, and content, then I think they're better people. They're more stable, let's just put it that way. And we had a pretty good time discussing finances. Now, I was attacked some, you know, but not a lot. And it was basically a good show for several hours because we were exploring options, real life. But you're right. I think some people just want to be angry, and they look for any reason to be that way.
But you're okay. Not on their level, not even a little bit.
I can say something sometimes, okay? I can speak just one out of every 45 sentences, Jew. I just said in my chat room that they use it.
I cannot be here for long.
God damn it. Okay, that's it. You're on mute for 10 minutes. There, now we can talk for a second. I just said in my chat room on Spreaker that they use it as an excuse to be lazy underachievers. Now, there is a lot to that, but if you really think about what I said, it's true. The people that don't want to work and they just want to walk around and bitch and talk about slavery is over. Slavery's been over. Like we said, one half of this country fought to free the slaves in this country, but they won't talk about that. All they talk about is how they're oppressed and they're held down and what your forefathers did to our forefathers. Well, you know, maybe it's my imagination, but for the last 50 years, we have given them more than has ever been given to a minority group in this country, period. And I believe that TRS is made up a bunch of street thugs that are uneducated, angry blacks. And they lash out at anybody they can find, and they lash out at me mainly because they just want to have my name in their mouth or whatever. And also, Mr. Midnight Movie, before you called in, Mr. Solution had asked the Jew, do you think that Mr. Midnight Movie is as stupid as he pretends to be? And the Jew answered, he's a very good actor.
Well.
But I think, said that first. Jew got that from me.
I think it's time that you stepped up in 2015 and showed Mr. Solution that you're not stupid. I know you're not stupid.
Know he's not stupid, Debbie.
Maybe
we
he's just intimidated
him.
By you.
Excuse
you
me?
Know? Maybe he's just intimidated around you.
He could not play that role so well if that were really who he was. He deliberately does that. And he pokes fun at himself.
Okay, I'm going to bring you to
I don't take myself that seriously. Sometimes
okay.
I get caught up in my bullshit, but most of the time I don't really take myself that seriously. I mean, I'm laughing the whole time. I'm smiling the whole time.
Did you do stand-up comedy?
Yes, I have.
Okay, there you go. Because your when I hear your voice, you remember Rodney Dangerfield? Well, of course you do.
Yes, I get.
I heard Rodney Dangerfield's voice, you just get ready to laugh. And the same thing when I hear your voice. It's like a conditioning. I said, I know we're about to have a good time.
See, I don't know if I were a comedian solution, if you would heckle me or if you would be laughing.
Oh, shit.
I think maybe a little bit from column A or column B.
Give me a break.
You don't even eat food from column A or column B.
I eat food wherever I can fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Same thing with love.
do tell. I can't wait to hear this part.
Well, wherever I can find a tasty meal and a scrumptious lady, who's a willing participant.
Do you have a price range for the lady, not the meal?
On a meal, The most I've ever spent on a lady and a meal. I think
no,
it's
not
about
a lady and a meal. A lady. Let's separate these things, please.
Well, I'll say from the menu.
Yeah.
400 is as high as I'll go up for the scrumptious meal. But the lady meal.
Well, I'm still confused. What part of that is for the woman and what part of that
listen,
is for the restaurant?
Listen. That's as far as I'm going with the filet mignon, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, then if you can't read behind me, you know what? If you can't read between the lines, I'm not going to spell it out.
I don't understand why you're pussyfooting around this.
Why shouldn't I?
Well, that's not an answer. I just don't get
you
it.
You can't read between. Are you? Now you're the one playing dumb, sir. You're the actor now.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not. I'm a little tired, though.
Yes, you sound tired. You sound like you're almost slurring your words just a bit.
I'm almost ready for Betty Bye.
Is that right?
That's correct.
What type of bed do you sleep in?
It's comfy.
No, I didn't ask you. How comfortable it was. I said, what type of bed? Water bed, air bed.
Sometimes a double wide, sometimes a king size.
What do you have at home?
Right now I have a double size, a double bed.
A double bed.
Mm-hmm.
Of what type? A bed is a bed. Is it a futon mattress? It is an air mattress. Do you sleep on a water bed? Do you sleep on the ill-fated and fearsome sofa bed?
No. What kind of
somebody
bed do you sleep on?
Somebody
wanted
to call in to do a Jesus run for Christ. His money, and I'm inviting him to do that. Somebody on my chat room is wanting to call in and give the Jew a run for its money. And I'm saying, please do. Somebody in the chat room said that Mr. Solution was the alpha male on the call. And I said, well, there's really no alpha male. We're all friends. We've been friends on the through the Internet for years. And I call in Kevin, and I will let you at him, please. I will let you at
him.
Tear him down. Tear him down. Rip him to shreds. Tear him up. We don't care. We'll throw him to the lions. Yes, we will.
One angry says, I don't care what you talk about as long as it's me.
Yes.
Does anyone have any opinion on the president's State of the Union address?
I didn't watch it. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Why?
I guess it was on. You know what?
You know it's a lie. You know that whatever he says is all bullshit. Why would you get, other than going to a play, if you're going to look at it as a play and admit that it's fantasy, that it's acting, then fine. Okay, go watch it for its, artistic
value. I think Barack Obama is a very good actor.
Okay.
And I wanted to see, I just was curious to see.
Let's take a listen to some of it while you think about what you thought. Let's listen to some of it, okay? This is very, very quick, 40 seconds.
I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them.
Well, that was kind of funny.
Can you play the gorilla walk for me?
No.
You have it, right?
Yes.
Would you please play it? It's a wonderful song. And I think Mr. Midnight Movie would enjoy it after that speech from Obama.
Oh, don't make
me
do that.
Come on, play it. Play it for me. Indulge
me. Now, let's talk about
I'm a sick man. Indulge me.
Oh, you need to tell Mr. Men That Movie what you have, Jew.
I got you beat, Mr. 3M.
He's got the D word.
Oh, so bad. I'll be shooting up by the end of the month.
The D word.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, my gosh. Darling, come on.
Somebody shake him.
Wake up. What do you have to start with?
Are you in a diabetic coma?
What? I just took a sip of water.
Oh, yeah, that always makes people a little melancholy. Go ahead. You take your time.
Okay, you have the D word.
Oh, just play the gorilla walk at this point.
Guys, if you call in, you have to call in by that number. Kevin, you have to call in by that number. And the first person that gets ugly is I can bounce them off the call in 2 seconds. I don't want anybody to call in about hate or anything.
The D word. The D word.
Diabetes. D word. Duh, baby.
Oh, well, why don't you say diabetes? Oh, you have diabetes too?
I
always feel like we're keeping Mr. Minute Movie up.
Yeah, really. How about that?
Okay.
Here, I'll let you know how bad it is. You ready?
No, we don't care about that. We're going to stay on a topic that's not about
the
Jew, okay?
The gorilla walk, please.
No, you're being too mean tonight.
No, I'm not.
This is a live feed of the... Well, we don't care about that. The only reason I'm saying that, guys, because everybody's going to say that I set Mr. Solution up for you to call in and say the N-word, and I'm not going to go through that bullshit again. That's all I'm saying, is that Guy was going to call in, and if he does, and something goes awry, it has nothing to do with me. That's all I want to know, because y'all didn't go through what I went through. I went through hell over that shit, and it was all, as a matter of fact, 24 hours ago, I was blamed for that. On the TRS show, they said, you let Guy Shay call Mr. Solution a blah, blah, blah.
Why are you blaming me?
Because you weren't there and hush when I'm talking.
Oh, just bring
and
my name.
You're going back on mute.
All right, well, whatever.
He's back on mute. Last night on the TRS show, Brown Beasley screamed at me, you let Mr. Solution, you let Guy Shay call in and call Mr. Solution and the N-word. And I thought, what? I let Guy Shay call in. I had no idea what Guy Shay was going to say. And besides, it was just a fight between two men on my show. I had nothing to do with that. And I have taken more crap off that phone call than I have the entire year 2014 on anything else. That's all I'm asking. So Guy said, never mind, I don't follow rules, I am not going to call in. And I'm not laying rules down. All I'm saying is, if he calls in and something happens, it has nothing to do with me. And I think I can say that. And y'all know I'm not some stupid bimbo. I'm intelligent, I'm educated, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday. So I know what I'm saying, and I have been known to be on shows with 15 men, 15 alpha men at one time, and I can handle them. So, there. Call in, Guy, unless you're too scared to call in.
Wow, Debbie.
Wow. Debbie, did you listen to did either one of you listen to the president's speech? State of the Union address.
It's still going on, from what I heard.
What do you mean? No, it's always been over for a while.
No, I did not, because anything he has to say is going to be bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, what did he say, 3M? You keep prying at everybody else.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say
he talked about raising them. Okay, the points that made things with me is he talked about raising the minimum wage.
Okay.
And he talked about continuing the Environmental Protection Act, which means he's going to be against the Keystone Pipeline. Those are the two things that struck with me, and it's kind of saddened that he would be against that, you know. And he didn't say it in so many words. And
why? Why? Can you tell why? Why is it?
Well, he wants to lessen. He wants to. I think he thinks that with the Keystone Pipeline, I think that he believes that it would be too damaging, or the possibility of it being damaging to our environment. And two, I think he wants to lessen our reliance on fossil fuels, which, you know, I think he's misguided in that area.
Oh, just say it. He's stupid.
What's that?
Just say it. He's stupid.
Well, I don't think he's stupid. I just think that he's, you know, he's...
Well,
I think he's stupid. Really?
Yeah.
I don't even think George Bush was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be misguided, and I think you could have, you know, just have wrong ideas and still be smart. I mean,
well, I have a question. How much of what comes from him do you think originates with him? Don't you think his handlers dictate to a large degree what he states, what he says, what he supports? Or had you ever thought about?
I mean, most ideas don't come from an original place. Most ideas come from somewhere else. They may be expounded on or cultivated in a different way, but I think a lot of his ideas and stuff do come from somewhere else, but he believes them. I don't think
so. How much do you think he's following orders in as opposed to being genuine? Had you ever thought of that?
I think on average he is more being genuine than he is following orders. I think that he really does believe in what he believes in. From what I've heard about him, I mean, there were economists who, and I think it was about automation, and he said something that it causes unemployment, and the economists were telling him that's not the case, that that it creates other jobs and the like, and he would not listen. You know, he was continuing on saying that automation causes unemployment. So I guess what Angry Jew might be right. He is kind of stupid and just hard-headed and won't listen to facts. But then again, I could be wrong.
Could you make a definitive statement one way or the other in the same sentence?
No, that's impossible.
It's like listening to a hydra. Stop it.
Okay, here's Jew's song, so he won't whine since he's sick and dying.
In memory of Obama, yes.
In memory of Obama, the gorilla walk.
In deference to our president, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, everybody, you've done the twist.
Yeah.
You've done the Hucklebuck.
Yeah.
You've done medicine time.
Yeah.
You've done the Lambeth walk.
Yeah.
Have you done the gorilla walk?
No.
Well, let's quit messing around and do it. I'll tell you when.
Now, wait a minute. I could dance to this. This would be a good push.
Yeah, this is what you should play in lieu of Obama. Just play the music.
Okay.
This will wreck the charts. Well, you're not getting it. You see, the gorilla walk is a return to primitive instincts. So stick your elbows out, point your feet in. Let's be honest, we're still living in the jungle.
beautiful.
Oh. What was the significance of that?
Now, if the audio had disappeared from Barack Obama's speech, and you just played that, with the jumping up and the clapping and all that, I think that would work.
What's that word you guys use, vapid?
Vapid, yes.
Vapid.
Look, there's two things I refuse to watch. It's the State of the Union bullshit and the Super Bowl. When the Super Bowl occurs, I will be the one person in the world who won't know who's playing. There's something wrong with Mr. Midnight Movie. He's moaning.
No, I'm just tired and I gotta get to bed.
God, you're whiny. Get out of here.
I'm getting out of here. Debbie, good night. And old man, it was kind of fun last night. And
before you go,
I
know you're really tired. What about his notion to tax the, was it the billionaires? It must have been the billionaires.
Well, you always, he says millionaires and billionaires, and I'm against that because I've never gotten a job from a poor man.
Okay, to tax them to raise, what, $1 billion in 10 years or something like that? Why
don't
he just have the Federal Reserve print it?
He will.
Yeah, that's a tax on, that's an inflationary tax on everybody.
He will have the Federal Reserve print it. In addition,
isn't that wonderful? Well, Debbie, solution, one angry.
Yes.
I bid you
Why
guys.
Why can't you
to
say
do.
One angry Jew?
Hey, when are you doing your next show?
You know, I'm not really sure. I got to talk to JP and.
That's the reason your voice doesn't work very well, because you don't do the show often enough. It doesn't recognize you.
You know, Blog Talk is not user friendly, and it's not as easy. And the only thing that's good about it is the chat board. That chat board is excellent, and I wish they would duplicate it other places, because Blog Talk, besides that, everything else about Blog Talk really stinks.
Yeah, you guys have got to do some more shows, though. Debbie is on Blog Talk now, I think.
Yes, yeah, she is on Blog Talk. She is. And you know what? It was the guests that made it good. I had little to do with that except for the excellent guests that came on there. And I want to thank Debbie for allowing me to be a guest on her show. So thank you, Debbie, and good night.
Okay. Catch you later.
Thank you. Take care, Mr. Solutions. Goodbye, Uncle Maury.
Mm.
All right.
Okay. Something everybody's always wanted to do, which is we consider Mr. Solution and the One Angry Jew to be the two most intelligent people on Internet Talk Radio. So we're going to have a quiz, a 10-question quiz. Each person will get 10 questions, and we'll just see who is, but we will not know the answers until after the quiz is over. Mr. Solution will have the odd. Hold on. Mr. Solution.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We're circus monkeys. It's not a test of intelligence.
I hardly hear you. Are you is my phone really that bad? My phone is crapping out on me.
I hear you just fine, I think. Do you hear me, Jude?
Yeah, but it's beeping.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
It's beeping quietly. Only you hear it.
Well, I'm going to check back in with you guys a little later, though, okay?
Are you going to lose your... I think he just got scared that he's going to get beat on the
I don't believe so. I think it's a silly test.
don't make me laugh. Save it.
I exited out of it, so never mind. All right.
No. My phone is really going on the blink. It's the battery is low.
All right.
All right, I'm going to catch you guys. You guys have a great evening.
All right. Okay.
It was the gorilla walk. It drove everyone away.
I don't know.
So now what are we left with? Who's going to come on and give me a hard time?
Nobody, obviously.
Yeah, apparently. What's wrong with them? I'm always up for a good challenge. Do you know I got told to be quiet again in Starbucks?
I believe it.
This time by a Muslim. Wearing a scarf. Wearing one of those Hezbollah scarves.
I believe it. Well, I guess that's all we're going to do tonight because I'm laying down here and I'm bored. So there's nothing else. Let me check the switchboard before I go. Now you've got
Birdcatcher. Yeah, Birdcatcher, isn't it? I love that song.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for me then. I'm going to tell everybody I'll see you the next time we do this. All right.
Does anybody tweet when they're going to do these things?
I don't know. I don't. I never tweet anything, hardly. I go over there and answer Megazawa's stupid tweets every now and then, but that's about it.
I don't think 3M puts out a tweet when he's doing a show.
If he did, I wouldn't get it because I was out there cooking and just doing household chores.
What if it went to your mobile phone?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that set up, I guess.
There are tweets, and then you can have some tweets go to your mobile phone.
Oh, okay.
Text messages.
I'll look into that. Well, there's something over here on Blog Talk Radio that I never get to do because I'm never on Blog Talk Radio, but one of my favorite songs is on here. I actually commissioned this song. It's a friend of mine that's playing this. Take a listen.
By the way, before you go, you see in your Blog Talk Radio chat room, you see Puddin' Fudge Pot.
Yes.
That's Beasley.
Are you serious? Beasley's such a pud. Beasley, you are a poor excuse for a man. Here comes one of my favorite songs by a friend of mine.
Welcome back to the Debbie Debbie Show.
My love of my life. He was over here with me all day yesterday, just driving me insane, and he wanted to color Captain America. Mika, it's only pointing out black and white. Okay, it's time for me to come clean about something. About 5 years ago, I got involved with a company that did a website that is called Bid 66. Okay? If you look up bid1d66.com and you go to the website, click, there's a little thing on the right that says, how does it work? Click that.
Hi, and welcome to bid66.com.
Sound
now
familiar?
That you've registered, let's get you familiar with the website.
Sound familiar?
Bid66.com. Now that you've registered, let's get you familiar with the website. The page that you are currently on now is known as your front page. From this page, you can control any and all aspects of your account and the auctions. The black box you see in the upper right-hand corner of the screen is known as the bid box. Bids are sold in what we call bid packs.
Okay. Got involved in more ways than one. And later on, found out that it was owned and operated by the Costa, I always say this name wrong, by the Mafia. And one of the gentlemen was just crazy over Debbie Daly. Not me in real life, but crazy over me as a Blog Talk Radio host. And we became pretty close. Now, y'all know Victor, I hide nothing from Victor. Victor's listening right now. Aren't you out there listening, baby? Yeah, I had nothing from Victor. There's never anything clandestine or sexual or anything stupid like that going on. Just friends, okay? This gentleman was very much still a part of, you know what. And for his birthday one year, in one of his favorite songs, remember his favorite movies of all time is The Godfather. And a friend of mine actually did that song for him. I have some very talented friends, a very young friend of mine. And I have another young friend of mine that sings. And this one, I mean, these are people that I know in real life. These aren't just internet friends. That man, that young man that did that guitar thing, that was done on a Spanish guitar. I think they call it a six string. I'm not sure. I don't know that much about guitars. But anyway, it was some special guitar. And then I have another person that is young that sings, and she actually is very good. And I had another one that I was reading tonight that she writes for the Harvard Crimson. She's in Harvard right now. And, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, Debbie's just from this, that, or the other. No, Debbie's not. Debbie's from...
Hi, my name is Debbie.
Shut up. From good stock. And the people that I hang out with in real life have to be from good stock or I don't hang out with them. You know, you can't be a bullshit, troll, hater, piece of crap, asshole.
Singing and giving a chance.
And here is the girl that sings. Take a listen to this talent. She is amazing. Before she starts singing, I want everybody to think about to the home that they grew up in and listen to the words of this song. And it is really a powerful song. It's called The House That Built Me. I think it is.
No, they say you can't go home again. I decided to come back. I know you don't know me from Adam, but these handprints on the front step of mine, up those stairs in that little back bedroom is where I did my homework and I learned to play guitar. And I bet you didn't know that under that I thought that maybe I could find my just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me.
Now, her mother tells me I taught her how to sing, and I tell her all the time, you don't teach somebody how to sing. You don't teach talent. But she's singing The House That Built Me by Miranda Lambert. And I think she does better than Miranda Lambert did. But that's just me. I don't know. Whatever. And so there you go. The House That Built Me by Miranda Lambert. Sorry. By a friend of mine. Here's Miranda Lambert doing it. You tell me. Of course, it's got all these stupid intro things on it until she starts singing it.
I know they say you can't go home again. I just had to come back one last time. Ma'am, I know you don't know me from Adam, but these handprints on the front steps are mine. Up those stairs in that little back bedroom is where I did my homework and I learned to play guitar. And I bet you didn't know, under that live oak, my favorite dog is buried in the yard. I thought if I could touch this place, or feel it.
You see what I mean? Danielle seems to put more into it. That's Danielle. I'm talking about Annette's daughter. And I was talking about another friend of mine who wrote, he didn't write it, obviously, but he performed the theme to The Godfather for a friend of mine for his birthday. And he just did a beautiful rendition of it. Blog Talk Radio. So I'm back again. So that was just me bragging on some people that I know. Now, I was talking earlier about a girl that I know that writes for Harvard Crimson, and she wrote something kind of interesting. And here is...
Yes?
Oh, here's something she wrote. I think I'm going to let the... Okay. What? What? Stand by. Okay. Sorry. I have to read another one. Okay. That was the best one, Victor. Jesus. I don't know what the rest of these are about, so it would be the first time that I've heard them that I don't know. I'll just have to guess if what it is. Okay. Here's another one that she wrote. Just to show you how smart this kid is, I'm really proud of this kid.
Share on Facebook, share on Twitter, share on email, share on print, more.
What was that? Hold on, I have to do it backwards. It's not that long. Hold on just a second. Check this out. This is what Harvard's putting out. Okay, come on. And there, I think I got it that time.
The War of 1812 is perhaps known for only two reasons. One is the burning of Washington, D.C. The second is the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner, courtesy of Francis Scott Key, witnessing a still-waving flag amidst the rubble of Fort McHenry. In Union 1812, the Americans who fought the Second War of Independence, author A.J. Languth 55 continues a historical journey that began with patriots, the men who started the American Revolution, Clocking in at a little over 400 pages, Languth begins his latest book with George Washington's return to Mount Vernon in 1783. Washington was actually coaxed into attending the Constitutional Convention by James Madison. Languth details the construction of the country with impeccable detail, but his prose never borders on the tedious. He avoids the run-of-the-mill history lesson by inserting various anecdotes about America's founding fathers. Languth, a former correspondent for the New York Times, informs us that a parade honoring Alexander Hamilton in New York was marred by mishap when the arm of the statue representing Hamilton broke off, the arm holding the Constitution. The book is filled with these factoids, humanizing figures that have become emblazoned in our historical memory. Lonely hearts at Harvard may take some solace in knowing that it was only through the clever machinations of Aaron Burr and Martha Washington that James Madison's 5-foot-5-inch bod landed Dolly Payne, a buxom brunette with remarkably fair skin, the future Mrs. Madison would.
Well, you get the point. Anyway, sorry. The reader's driving me crazy. I just don't feel like reading. Something about the Jew made me mad. I don't know what it is. He just comes in and he's just rude on the show and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It just pisses me off. But anyway, so much for that. All right, that's it. I mean, they can't all be stellar, right? Some of them have got to be dogs, right? I can't always do a perfect show. All right, so I'm going to click end episode on Blog Talk Radio. Let's do this first. End episode. It'll take